The Leach Report Radio Network is on the air with the voice of the Wildcats, Tom Leach. Join in with the rest of Big Blue Nation to get the latest insights and opinions on your Kentucky Wildcats from an all-star lineup of guests. If you have a question for Tom or one of our guests, tweet him to @LeachReport or email to LeachReport@gmail.com. And you can call toll-free anywhere across the Commonwealth of Kentucky at 877-904-1080. Now, here's Tom.
Hey, everybody. Welcome in to another week of the Leach Report on this Monday. Beautiful day after just a gorgeous weekend. Hopefully it was a nice, pleasant day for all the moms who we are so grateful to. So glad to have you guys with us today as we begin a new week. Lots to talk about with the Preakness coming up this week. Yeah, we'll get more into that as the week moves along. UK heads into the final week of the regular season in baseball. Softball's NCAA tournament starts. So let's get right into our guest lineup for today. Kyle Tucker will join us from SECCountry.com. The Combine is coming up this week in Chicago, and we'll talk with Kyle about that and more. Jeff Pecoro to talk about those red-hot Cincinnati Reds. Six straight wins for the Redlegs. And John Clay from the Lexington Herald Leader. That's our guest lineup. It's presented each and every day by Sleep Outfitters. You can interact with us via Twitter at Leach Report. Email, it's leachreport@gmail.com, or you can call 877-904-1080 toll-free anywhere in Kentucky. Wildcat News of the Day is a service of Cardinal Point Financial Group, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. Baseball, Mississippi State clobbers Kentucky 18-8. This was one of those days, kind of like the previous weekend at the Derby. Once you get soaked, then you're just soaked. You're not going to get any wetter. And, you know, it was just that Mississippi State jumped out to a huge lead early, and just Kentucky was never in it. It was one of those days. So the good news is Kentucky won two out of three. They took the first two in the series, so they win the series. They had a good week with the win at Indiana and then taking two of three from Mississippi State. Another good outing for Zach Thompson, so that's important. Justin Lewis had to miss his start yesterday, part of the reason, no doubt, why things got away from Kentucky with a sore arm. So hopefully they will get him back for this week when they close out the SEC play at Vanderbilt. And I would think that Kentucky would need to take two out of three to have a shot to host the next week, would be my guess. But we'll get into a little more of that as the week goes on. Coach Mingione said he's motivated to bring more games back to the Cliff. Kentucky may have played its final game at Cliff Hagan Stadium yesterday. And they had some really fun stuff for the weekend with the reunion of the 88 team. And then yesterday, Cliff Hagan was back to join in the festivities of throwing out the first pitch with all the former Kentucky coaches, including, you know, appropriate. Mississippi State was there with Gary Henderson coaching and John Cohen being the AD. So they had all these former Kentucky baseball coaches. Dickie Parsons was out there with them throwing the first pitch yesterday. Just too bad the game didn't turn out better. But it might not be the last game at the Cliff if Kentucky can finish strong. And they'll be playing at Mississippi or at Murray State tomorrow. Softball, I flipped over to the selection show last night just in time to see the good news that Kentucky gets to host. They were the last of the 16 seeds, so they get to host starting on Friday at John Cropp Stadium against UIC, Michigan, and Notre Dame in the other half of the double elimination four-team bracket. So hopefully the good weather will hold for the weekend, and Coach Lawson and company will be able to advance in the NCAA tournament. Football started out with some bad news, finished with some good news. They lost the four-star commit Keontra Smith, flipped to Miami. But within hours, they had picked up a three-star DB from Columbia, South Carolina, Jalen Geiger, committing to Kentucky, 6'1", 190. So you win one, you lose one on yesterday. Mel Kiper's got a story out at ESPN.com. Now, you have to be one of their subscribers to be able to read the full content. But what he's looking, obviously, at the 2019 draft. That's his specialty. And he ranks two Kentucky players number one at their positions among the senior class. Josh Allen as an outside linebacker and C.J. Conrad as a tight end. Not number one overall, but number one as seniors in their class at their position. Cats Illustrated. David Sisk, their recruiting writer, caught up to Tyrese Maxey at the EYBL event over the weekend down in Atlanta. Got an interview with him in which he said that Tyrese saying Cal wants to get back to his dribble drive ways with three guards playing downhill. So maybe that's why he's loading up on guards. Sydney McLaughlin broke the college record of the 400-meter hurdles to win gold at the SEC Outdoor Championships. And UK's 4x400-meter relay team gave the school its first win in that event at the SECs and recorded the 11th fastest time ever. Jasmine Camacho-Quinn posted the second fastest 100-meter hurdle time. So quite a weekend for UK track and field. UK golf is down in Bryan, Texas today, beginning play in the regional, trying to advance. Triple Crown updates. Justify galloped his regular mile and a half this morning at Churchill Downs as he's getting ready to head up to Baltimore for the Preakness this Saturday. Bolt Doro is out. He's going to point to the Metropolitan Mile, which I think is a kind of a cool move for a three-year-old. And then Good Magic declared in by trainer Chad Brown. So the Bluegrass Stakes winner and Derby runner-up is going to give it another go in the Preakness, which Chad Brown won last year. And speaking of the Bluegrass Stakes, from out at Keeneland, Blended Citizen, who ran a fast-closing fifth in the Bluegrass, he won the Peter Pan Stakes at Belmont Park and now will be running next in the Belmont Stakes. And one to keep an eye on. Horse that seems to be really improving. Our Triple Crown coverage this spring, once again presented by Claiborne Farm, doing the usual unusually well for more than 100 years. Check them out at claibornefarm.com. 13 after the top of the hour. Heading to a break. When we come back, Kyle Tucker from SEC Country. It's the Leach Report Radio Network. Welcome back into our Monday show. Kyle Tucker joins us from SECCountry.com. I assume you're preparing to head up to Chicago later this week for the Combine, right?
I'm actually not this year, but I've got a couple other things going on, but I will be keeping an eye on it.
Well, it's going to be one of the big storylines over the course of the next few weeks, because I guess we won't get any resolution out of this. I mean, there'll be some reports about how guys, you know, how they test, and maybe a little bit of scuttlebutt about the what happens in the evaluation. But what I guess the key part of the process will be in the aftermath, right, where they'll get they'll sit down with their families, the Kentucky guys, and evaluate what they heard and then make their decision by, what is it, the 30th?
Yeah, the 30th. So 10-day. The rules now, I guess for the last 3 years, this will be the third year of it, is guys have until 10 days after the end of the timeline to pull out of the draft or stay in. And it runs, I think, Wednesday to Saturday. And yeah, they'll have till the 30th to decide. The three guys will, for Kentucky, three who have hired agents are already gone, Knox, Shea, and Diallo. But PJ, Washington, Wynn, and Gabriel, and I'm just drawing a blank. Jared Vanderbilt. Those three who have not hired agents to decide. Wynn did not get an invite to the combine. He's had some and is having some workouts with him. Those will be big for him. But he's in the same boat, even though he's not going to the combine. He has that same deadline. So, and then it'll be interesting to see what does Jared Vanderbilt do? Does he do anything on that foot ankle? At the combine, is he just going to interview with teams? That'll be kind of an interesting piece. PJ's got an injury, too, that he can play through, did play through all season, most of the season, with his pinky that needs some surgery. I guess he's put that off so that he can participate. How much will he do and what will he be able to show people? The big news is not going to come probably out of this weekend unless one of these guys just says, okay, I'm coming back, or no, I'm going to go ahead and hire an agent and stay in. I like this deal. I don't think that's going to happen. I think those guys will probably take some time. So, but a big week for all of them, with Wynn, having some workouts, and these other two, whether it be working out or interviewing with teams at the combine, they will have a chance to impress, but more importantly, I think they'll have a chance to get that feedback. They'll have NBA teams be pretty frank with them, I think. On yes, I would take you. No, I would not take you. I think you should go back to school. Or, you know, I know PJ Washington's dad has come out in one interview I saw and said, you know, if somebody will tell us in writing we're going to take you in the first round, we're definitely going. If not, it's going to be a decision to make. That I don't think anybody's going to promise PJ Washington a first round spot, but we'll see.
It's going to be interesting to see what Jared Vanderbilt does, just because, you know, we saw this flash of some brilliance, and he was starting to really come on. Then he gets hurt, doesn't play any in the postseason, and we haven't really heard, much of anything since, right around the end of the season. And, you know, did he have to have some, you know, has he had any surgery? You would think he wouldn't be able to do much if he has. You know, how limited is he, et cetera? So, you know, assuming he goes through the testing, that's going to be really interesting.
Yeah. I just I don't know what to make of his situation. Yeah, as I've said before about him, the question is really just, do you fear a re-injury? Because otherwise, it doesn't make much sense to go right now, because you're going to have a hard time getting drafted at all. If you do, you're probably going straight to the D-League. You know, if you're afraid of, if you come back to school, you could get injured again and then you have no draft stock, then I guess I understand it. For him, otherwise, it's just hard for me to believe that an NBA team is going to roll the dice on a guy that's had multiple foot injuries, ankle, foot, you know, lower extremity injuries for a big man. Those are the worst nightmare for NBA teams. And a guy who not only that, you know, only has a body of work of 14 games, and in that body of work has shown very little offensive ability or scoring ability anyway. Great rebounder, one of the best in the country, one of the best Cal's ever had. But that alone is probably not, you know, when you couple that with injury questions, that's going to make it a tough road for you. So, you know, I think he's probably just got to weigh, you know, do I think if I come back to school, I can avoid getting hurt again? You know, is it worth risking coming back to school and getting hurt again? Because I think another injury would really cast doubt in NBA minds whether he's just kind of cursed there and not going to be able to stay healthy.
And, you know, you can certainly understand that mindset that might be in play. I could certainly see an NBA team taking a flyer on a guy like that at the end of a second round where it doesn't really cost them much. But all that does is get you, about $35,000 a year in a G League job?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the reason it's a flyer for them is because it's a very little guarantee for you.
Right.
You know, you're not going to be insured very much money at all, and you're almost certainly a one-way ticket to the G League. And you know, it may be one of those deals where they say, hey, we want to just open this foot up, fix it, do surgery on it, and you're not going to play at all next year. And you're going to be, take a slow rehab tour through the G League, and that's just going to be your path. And if you, 2 years from now, you've shown us something, maybe you get there. I mean, is that really appealing? Is that lifestyle appealing? I don't know. You know, people have continued to speculate that top players will skip college altogether in favor of the G League. And I've been to spend a weekend with Dakari Johnson in the G League, and that experience and the extended stay hotel and the buses and commercial flights for 7-footers in you know, window seats and little commercial airliners. I know it's not a very comfortable lifestyle, and you know, I know that Kentucky basketball players enjoy a very nice lifestyle. If you're got to work your way and prove your way anyway, what lifestyle would you prefer? We'll see. I have a hard time believing a lot of guys are going to start going the G League route if they have any real awareness of what that life is like.
Talk with Kyle Tucker from SECCountry.com. We'll take a break, come back, and continue this discussion in just a moment here on the Leach Report Radio Network.
You're tuned to Talk Radio 1080 and the Leach Report. And visit TomLeachKY.com for more news and views on the Cats.
Back for another segment with Kyle Tucker from SECCountry.com. Wenyen Gabriel, of course, not going to be at the Combine this week, but I saw where he had a workout for the Jazz on Saturday. Do you know how many others he's had?
I don't. I'm not sure on that number, but I would imagine that a handful of teams will bring him in. I mean, he's an intriguing prospect. You know, I talked to one NBA scout a couple weeks ago who, you know, hoped he would go back to school because he feels like at some point with continued development, he's got a chance to be kind of a 3-and-D guy in the NBA, a 6'9 kid who can shoot, you know, 50%. I think he shot 55% from three over the last 10 games of the season or something like that. Obviously had that crazy game in the SEC tournament. He's going to be an interesting player for some teams. I'm just not sure. I mean, as far as I know, nowhere that I've seen has him projected to be drafted at all. ESPN doesn't have him in his top 100. You know, NBA scouts that I've talked to don't feel like he's ready now, but they see some potential there. They're interested and want to keep an eye on him. And you know, maybe he gets into one of these workouts and has one of those crazy shooting days. They say that, you know, in the 5-minute shooting drill at Kentucky, after his 7-for-7 game, I asked him what was his best number. I think it was like in the 70s. He hit like 70-something three-pointers in 5 minutes. You know, if you have a performance like that at his size, you know, in a workout, maybe you open a team's eyes. But he's a kid that I still just feel like is probably going to not hear his name called in the draft, but he may get some good feedback in terms of, you know, do this in the next year and we would be interested in taking you. And, you know, that is what this is also valuable for. Not everybody that puts their name in the draft is just hell-bent on going. Some of them want to go at some point and want to know what it's going to take. And so they want to hear it directly from these NBA teams, and that's a useful, informative process. So, I'll be curious to hear what he hears.
Any one of these three guys that is under evaluation without an agent, Gabriel Vanderbilt, Washington, that's more important than the other in terms of Kentucky getting them back? In other words, if they could only get one back, would there be one that you would be definitive that is the most important to get back?
Yeah, I would say without a doubt I would choose P.J. Washington if I were picking one guy. You know, if it was just pure upside with no risk, maybe Jared Vanderbilt, but there is risk. He may come back and get hurt again. P.J. Washington is the most proven of those three. I think he's got the chance to be the biggest impact. I know I've said it a couple times. I think if he comes back, he could be an SEC Player of the Year caliber guy. You know, if he's the guy we saw against Kansas State, you know, missed free throws aside, he was dominant in that game. He knew that he couldn't be stopped, and he played accordingly. And, you know, had a chance to have a 30-and-15 game in that game if he'd made some of those free throws. I think he, without a doubt, if he comes back, and even if nobody else does, just if of the three, if he comes back with some of the guys they have coming in and the other pieces they already have coming back, they're a real, real threat.
Kyle, I appreciate the time as always. Talk to you soon.
Hey, thank you.
That's Kyle Tucker. You can read him at seccountry.com, covering with the news about the Combine this week, but all the other things that are going on in UK land. We are halfway home. Jeff Pecoro next, then John Clay from the Herald Leader. It's the Lynch Report Radio Network.
Look for the Leach Report on Facebook. Show updates, contests, and other cool stuff. Check it out today.
Second half of our show for this Monday as we welcome in Jeff Pecoro. You see him doing pre-game, post-game on the Reds coverage on a regular basis. And the Reds are on fire, Jeffrey.
Pretty amazing, isn't it, what a little bit of pitching can do?
What's gotten them going?
I just think it's that, Tom. I think it's pitching. Look, at every level of baseball, if you can't pitch, you're not going to have success. And they've had quality start after quality start this last time through the rotation. Danny Darwin, I think, has come in, and it's a different voice in their ear, and he's more kind of old school, you know, if you will. The other thing I think that a major league player, and this is true in the NFL and the NBA, when you have a coach at a position or a manager who's played the game and has been through the wars and has been, in a situation in the eighth inning where, you know, they can talk about experience with you, I think that resonates with these younger guys. And this is a young pitching staff. And for whatever reason, Danny's really come across well, and they've responded. The bullpen has been out of sight, and the starters have been really good.
So this is something, not that they're going to, you know, win all their games, but this is a turnaround that can stick, sounds like.
Well, yeah, I think the other thing is you look at Joey Votto starting to hit. Suarez is starting to hit. Peraza is starting to hit. Scooter Gennett's starting to hit. I mean, all these guys are living up to what they did last year now. It was a slow start for everybody, it seemed like, on the team. But, you know, they're starting to click right now. And you know, you just got to ride that wave, man, and enjoy it.
Well, it's got to be just a lot more fun group to be around now to have some things going well. That kind of the run they were having in the first month plus of the season just has to you know, drain the energy out of you.
Yeah, and it sure is a lot more fun in the clubhouse, that's for sure. I mean, the guys are smiling, and, you know, it's just like anything. When you're doing well at your job, it's a lot easier to come to work every day, and these guys are the same way. They just get paid a heck of a lot more money than the rest of us.
Oscar Combs, our buddy, tweeted out something last night after the Reds completed the four-game sweep of the Dodgers. He said he was putting the final touches on the first issue of the Cat's Paws and going to give out copies at the Kentucky-Oregon State football game in 1976, the last time the Reds swept the four-game series from the Dodgers. So that was pretty incredible.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
That is unreal.
And that's back in the days when the Reds and the Dodgers were in the same division and were big rivals.
Yeah, and, you know, the thing that's really cool about that, we kind of forget this, is how good both of those teams were in the 70s. In the 70 to 80, in that 10-year period, the Reds won 6 division titles, the Dodgers won 3 division titles, and the Giants won 1. That's how dominant the Reds and the Dodgers were back then. And you just think about the names of those two teams, and you know, you and I are big baseball fans anyway, but growing up, you could name almost every player on both of those teams.
Oh, yeah.
And how good those guys were.
Yeah, the starting eights were fantastic for both of them. And, you know, they were not geographically linked, but, you know, they were both in the Western Division, ironically. And so they were...
Yeah, the Reds were in the West, and the Cardinals were in the East back then.
Yes.
Go figure.
Somebody had screwed up geography, but it certainly made for a great Kentucky and or not Kentucky, but a great Cincinnati LA rivalry. Who are the guys? We've talked about some of the names. Well, let's talk about Harvey, picking up him. What do you expect of him? What could he do for them?
Well, I think that anything Matt Harvey gives you is a bonus. I thought it was a great trade. You know, Devin Mesoraco is toiling on the bench right now and playing, you know, once a week as a backup. So, unfortunately for the Mets, they lost 2 catchers. You know, both of their catchers, one had Tommy John, Darnell broke, and then Pilecki broke his hand. So those guys are out for most of this season. So they needed somebody. And Devin is a nice catcher. You know, obviously he had the problems with his hips, so he can't do as much as he used to. He's lost a little pop out of his bat. But he's still a serviceable catcher, and I think that he'll do fine. He's going to play every day in New York. But Matt Harvey brings that unknown, and he brings, you know, some of that, almost like when they traded for Tom Seaver. He brings that it that these guys really, I mean, Homer Bailey's thrown a couple of no-hitters, but he's not the Dark Knight, you know, and he's not the marquee name that Matt Harvey is. And if Matt Harvey can do anything this year, like he did in that first game, if he can continue that. I mean, the guy really had a no-hitter. The one ball was lost in the sun, which was an easy out. So, you know, you hope that he can extend and be able to pitch 6 or 7 innings. And if he can do that most every time out, then I think it was a great trade for the Reds. There's no downside to it, because if they can return him back to anywhere close to his old form, they've got a couple options. A, you trade him near the trade deadline to a contender that needs a pitcher, and you can get some prospects back. B, he's only making $6 million this year. So next year, even, you know, with the way baseball is, he's still only going to top out around, and I use this as only, around $12 or $15 million a year. So in the eyes of the baseball world, that's relatively cheap.
Let's shift gears to a football question before we let you go. Yep. I know you got an assignment to get to. Denzel Ware announcing over the weekend, I guess it was on Friday, that he is transferring to Jacksonville State. And so there's a void there to be filled. Josh Pascal was moved up from backing up Denzel to defensive end in the spring, and from all accounts did well there. Would you like to see them leave him there and fill Denzel's position in other ways, or is moving Pascal the best move?
You know, I keep hearing people say what a tragic loss this is for this team and how, boy, it was really a tough thing. And look, let me tell you something. There was a reason that he was suspended last year for the bowl game. And we say this all the time in basketball, and nobody really says much about it, where you try to recruit over that position. And Denzel is a nice defensive end. He's not Josh Allen by any stretch of the imagination. He's a really nice player that is maybe, how do you say it, the addition by subtraction, so to speak. I think Boogie Watson is going to come in and play that position and play it well. I think they're going to flip him and Allen from side to side, and I really think that this defense is not going to lose a beat. So I'm not as heartbroken as a lot of people are about losing him. I just think that this team can move on. You've recruited much better, and I don't think it's going to hurt them as much as some people might think.
Jeff Porcaro, thank you much. We'll watch on Fox Sports Ohio coverage for the pre and the post, and I guess you're heading off to shoot Reds Weekly now, right?
Heading off right now, meeting my boy Doug Flynn.
Oh, well, give him our best. I saw a great picture he tweeted out of his mom yesterday on Mother's Day. So he's a good son.
Yep, the boy. Him and his mom and dad were up here at the game the other day. Having
a good
time with his brother. So
good.
Got to see all of them.
Thanks much, Jeff.
Bye, buddy. See you soon. Bye-bye.
18 away from the top of the hour. It's the Leach Report Radio Network, and our guest lineup each day is presented by Sleep Outfitters. A good night's sleep is one of the best things you can do for your health. If you're not sleeping well, let Sleep Outfitters Memorial Day sale come to the rescue. Perfect time and place to get yourself a new bed. Their Sealy luxury pillow top mattress with gel comfort layer, just $299 for the queen size. Good sleep equals good health, and they have products and financing to help you sleep better at Sleep Outfitters. So get it by, or go to sleepoutfitters.com and find the store nearest you and take advantage of some great deals. Great folks at Sleep Outfitters and fantastic products that will help you sleep better. I know from experience. Got to get to a break. John Clay, when we come right back. The Leach Report Radio.
This is where the Big Blue Nation gathers. It's Talk Radio 1080 and The Leach Report, followed by Kentucky Sports Radio.
14 away from the top of the hour, John Clay joins us from the Lexington Herald Leader. Your former colleague there, John, Alicia Winskews, now at the Blood Horse, tweeting out this morning some comments from Bob Baffert talking about Justify after he came off the track this morning over at Churchill. He looks no different than he did before the Kentucky Derby. Didn't lose an ounce of weight. That's not always a great thing to say about humans, but it's a really good thing to say about a racehorse.
Yes. Especially for one who's only had four career races. So, Chad Brown said yesterday, good magic. You know, the one thing that we don't know about these horses, talking about both Justify and Good Magic, is how they're going to respond to a short 2-week layoff, because it's something they've never done before. So the fact that Justify did not lose any weight, that's a good sign for Baffert.
I remember a line from Steve Asmussen one time a few years ago. He talked about horses. We get paid for what they do, talking about the connections, but they pay for what they do, meaning that, you know, each time there's a race, there's a, you know, physical toll that it takes, and, you know, you need time to recuperate. And so it's kind of the thing with Justify that if he gets beat, whether it's here or at the Belmont, that might be the thing that catches up to him. He certainly looks superior to his rivals at the moment, but at some point you compress several races into a short time span, and that might catch up to you at some point. And that's where people around the horse look for signs, like, you know, has he lost any weight, or has he, you know, lost any energy? Does he still have that, you know, like you would say about a human, a bounce in his step? Looking at those kind of things, right?
Yeah, and you never know for sure. I mean, the day after the Derby, we were talking with Elliot Walden, and Elliot was saying that Super Saver, Windstar's 2010 Derby winner, was trained by Todd Pletcher. He did lose weight after the Derby, and they ran him in the Preakness because he won the Derby. but you know, they just didn't feel like that he just lost too much in the Derby to be able to come back and run well in the Preakness. So Super Saver had more races than he had raced at two, or Justified did not race at two. So yeah, you never know. I think Good Magic will be. I thought Good Magic ran a heck of a race in the Derby. He just, as Chad Brown said after the race, you know, he just lost to a superior horse on that day. We could be looking at maybe one of those great rivalries if Good Magic and Justify run a great race in the Preakness. But to me, the Belmont, it looks like a lot of horses are waiting on the Belmont. Pletcher's horses, some other horses are waiting on the Belmont, and they'll be rested up and ready to go. So if Justify can win the Preakness, how he matches up against fresher horses in the Belmont, that's going to be a real test for him.
Yeah, I don't know how you're thinking at this point. We're getting ahead of ourselves, but hey, it's we're not working with the horse. We get to talk about it, so we can do this. I'll be very surprised if he loses on Saturday, but I think it's at this point anyway. I wouldn't be quite as confident about him as I was with Pharaoh back in 2015, just because of. You know, a more compressed schedule, and what's I think the competition that'll be waiting for him might be a little stiffer than what Pharaoh faced at that time.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard it said in the past. Sometimes, if you look back at the Triple Crown winners, it was just that horse was a great horse, but there was a lot of distance between that horse and the rest of the crop, the rest of the 3-year-old crop this year. I mean, people talked about, even Baffert said after the race. Going into the race and after this race, that this was the strongest field he'd ever gone up against in the Derby, and he's been running the Derby since 1996. So, yeah, that would be my concern going into the Belmont fresh horses and good horses, strong horses, you know, a strong field of fresher horses going against Justify. Is he that much better than the rest of the crop that he can win, as you say, three races in a compressed period of time?
Let's shift gears to Kentucky basketball and the combine decisions. I asked this question earlier to Kyle Tucker when he was on. I'll get your take on it. Of the guys that are in the draft for Kentucky, P.J., Jarrett, and Winion, that haven't signed with an agent and are able to come back if they choose to do so, is there any one of the three that would be the most important to Kentucky's chances for achieving their goals next season?
I would say, if I had to pick, I would say PJ Washington, because Washington played so much more than Jared Vanderbilt did last year, because of Jared's injuries. Also, I think, by signing EJ Montgomery, EJ can play down low, more, and kind of, PJ won't have to play down low as much as he had to last year, especially when they went to a smaller lineup. PJ was the biggest guy on the floor. I think he can show more of his perimeter skills next year if he does, in fact, come back. If he does come back, and if he doesn't come back, you know, who are they going to plug into that spot? I wrote about it for my Sunday column that, a lot of it will depend on the combine about what kind of team Kentucky fans are going to see next year, whether it's going to be another team that depends so heavily on freshmen. But I think another thing is that Winion Gabriel, was not invited to the combine, he's probably sitting back and seeing what PJ and Jared Vanderbilt are going to do. If they both come back, Winion's probably thinking about, boy, it's going to be tough to get playing time. I'm really going to have to fight for playing time. If one or both of those guys doesn't come back, I think Winion's more likely to come back. So, you know, there's a lot of questions to be answered. But if I had to pick one, I'd probably pick PJ.
Yeah, I think that probably would be what the consensus would be. Let's look at Kentucky baseball, and they had the series that with Mississippi State over the weekend that brought back former coaches, and one of them's now the AD at Mississippi State, and they may be looking for a new coach, and John Cohen may be looking for a new coach, unless they would give the job to Gary Henderson full time. And so Nick Mangione's name has certainly come up, and Coach. John Cohen didn't want to talk about that yesterday, but he did certainly go out of his way to throw a lot of praise on Nick Mangione, so it clearly makes you think it's a guy that he'd be interested in. The fact that they finally have got the new stadium in place, is that going to Would that be enough, you think, for to help Kentucky hang on to Nick in this situation?
Wow, that's a tough one. Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, a couple factors. One, the stadium, and two, Mitch Barnhart was the guy who gave, you know, Nick his big break as far as being a head coach. I think it's a little different than when John Cohen left UK and went back to Mississippi State, because John played at Mississippi State. So I think, you know, he was kind of going back home. Stronger that wouldn't be the case for Nick Mangione. It would be the case, however, that he'd be working for John Cohen, who, you know, he was an assistant under and obviously has a really close relationship with. And, you know, Mississippi State, you know, they've got a lot of history, a lot of tradition in baseball. They're very well supported there. You know, it'd be a tough choice for Nick. And I know it would be a tough loss for Mitch Barnhart in UK if he did leave to go to Mississippi State. So, I don't know, one way or the other. It's hard to make a prediction. I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, Nick stayed, and I certainly would not be surprised if Nick left. So I do think, you know, if you're John Cohen, you want to hire the best guy out there possible, and I would think Nick would have to be, if not at the top of John's list, he's certainly in the, top two or three, I would think.
I think Kentucky has to sweep Vanderbilt this weekend to be in a position to get to host, or would two of three be enough to have a shot?
I think winning two of three would be enough to have a shot, and I think it might actually, you know, get them. If you look at Kentucky's schedule, they definitely played one of the toughest schedules in the country, and they played good baseball here at the end, too. I know it was disappointing at Tennessee, but the way they started off to be able to get back to where they're right now, back around 500 in the SEC, I think if they could win two out of three at Vanderbilt on the road, I think that might be enough to get them a home slot. So maybe we haven't seen the last home game at Cliff Hagin Stadium.
Yeah, maybe so. Nick said that yesterday he's motivated to make that happen. So we will see. That would be fun. John, thank you much.
Thank you, Tom.
It's John Clay, Lexington Herald Leader, KentuckySports.com. We are five away from the top of the hour. We'll come back with our final segment after this timeout on the Leach Report Radio Network. The Leach Report for a Monday, and it is going to wrap us up for today. Donato Slice of Wildcat History is a couple of birthdays that occurred yesterday, since we weren't with you. Former Kentucky football coach Guy Morris, happy birthday to Guy Mo, and former Kentucky basketball player Marion Haskins was born on the, the 13th of May. So happy birthday to those guys. Coming up tomorrow, we're going to chat, of course, with Larry Vaught. We'll also check in with Mark Wise. He's been with us before. Grew up here in Kentucky, but he's on the Florida Gator Network now and does a lot of games for ESPN. He's got some interesting thoughts he tweeted out in response to the Condoleezza Rice Commission report. And I saw the tweets, and I thought, some interesting stuff there. We'll get Mark on and talk about it. So we'll do that tomorrow on the show. And then later in the week, Dick Girardi will join us to help preview the Preakness. And then I'll be heading up to Baltimore on Thursday. See you tomorrow on the Leach Report Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to the Leach Report. Make sure you check out the podcast page at TomLeachKY.com whenever you miss a show. And be sure to follow the Leach Report Facebook page. If you have a question for Tom, email it to Leach Report.